Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Andrade wants out of WWE, plus a top Raw star breaks their silence, and fresh off of the news he is coming out of retirement, we catch up with the British ambassador, Doug Williams. For Friday, March the 19th, 2021, this is your Cultaholic Wrestling News.
El Ídolo!
Andrade is the name on the lips of wrestling fans this morning, following the revelation yesterday from Andrade's Twitter that, yes, he is indeed keen to get out of WWE. We have heard some rumours and some speculation that Andrade hasn't been happy in the company for quite some time, and he addressed some of those rumours on Twitter yesterday, simply tweeting out, "The rumours are true, and I don't know what the future holds, but I want to make my dreams come true. Thank you for giving me so much support these last days." Andrade has not been on WWE television since losing to Angel Garza in very quick fashion on Raw back in October of last year. His fiancée Charlotte Flair says that she has pitched ideas to WWE Creative to work with Andrade. We've talked about those on this here podcast with the rumours of Charlotte and Andrade being a couple on screen, possibly Andrade getting involved with the storyline between Lacey Evans and Ric Flair, one that isn't really happening now, what with Lacey Evans taking time away while she's expecting a child. However, despite that, the company has seemingly no plans and have had no plans to utilise him going forward. All mentions of WWE have been removed from his social media platforms as of yesterday as well. Jim Ross, on the latest episode of Grilling JR, discussed very briefly the news from Andrade, saying, quote, "I am surprised during this COVID climate that people are asking for their release. You damn sure don't want to ask for a release unless you've got somewhere to go and can establish some stability and financial security. I don't know if he has that or doesn't have that. I'm not surprised that WWE refused it because that allows them not to make him happy or another company. To me, it says WWE is keenly aware of AEW. We're not that pissant company that Triple H said we were going to be in the beginning. If I were Andrade, I hope he's thought it out. Right now, the most significant thing in his timeline is he's dating and living with Charlotte. He is a good worker, don't get me wrong. He looks great, but right now, he hasn't distinguished himself. Would I like to work with him someday? Why not?" When we know more on the situation regarding Andrade and his potential release from WWE, we will let you know more at Cultaholic.com.
Who is Keith Lee? What is Limitless? Limitless is taking the advice of the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, to not quit, to be yourself. Limitless is coming back after failure, after failure, after failure, and overcoming those failures to prove that my drive, limitless, my determination, limitless, and now my future in NXT, limitless. I invite you all to stop what you're doing take just one moment. And bask in my glory.
The absence of Keith Lee has been very much noticed by us here at Cultaholic. He hasn't been on Raw for quite a while, and he broke his silence on Twitter last night, simply saying, "I hear many of you. I see many of the messages. One day I will explain it all for the ones true to me. For now, know that I more than appreciate the continued support. And when I return, it will be filled with all the love I have for those that represent this hashtag Legion." So Keith Lee seems keen to get back, but doesn't want to divulge what's happening at the moment. He was pulled from the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. He was meant to be in a triple threat with Keith Lee, Bobby Lashley and Riddle. He was involved in that whole storyline, so it was a surprise to see him get pulled. He wasn't part of the Royal Rumble following a COVID outbreak that led to Mia Yim missing the Rumble. So Keith being in close proximity meant that he was off the Rumble as well. But Mia Yim has since returned to TV, but Keith Lee has not. WWE, you had one rule when it came to Keith Lee. You had one job. Don't you forget about Keith. Make sure you don't. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We have an update for you on the in-ring return of Kylie Rae. It was announced yesterday that she will be back in action on June the 5th for a stadium show for Warrior Wrestling. Mike Johnson of PW Insider is reporting this morning that despite her retirement, she is still technically under contract to Impact Wrestling. And Kylie Rae was scheduled to face Deonna Purrazzo back in October at Bound for Glory, a match that she didn't show up for. Impact was said to have been incredibly supportive during that time away when she announced her departure. She did say that she would come back when she was feeling better to fulfill some obligations, but she has a long-term deal with Impact Wrestling. So while she's doing stuff with Warrior Wrestling, she may very well be back in an Impact Wrestling ring soon. Another event announced by WWE for WrestleMania week. What are you doing to us? A special edition of NXT UK is going to be part of that week's programming. NXT UK Prelude will air at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, on Thursday, April the 8th, showcasing the wrestlers of NXT UK in matches that, quote, promise to be the most talked about in history. We know two of those matches so far. We will see Tyler Bate and Noam Dar in a Heritage Cup rules match, sort of old school World of Sports style. And with the NXT UK Championship on the line, Volta will face Rampage Brown.
Just took it to my veins!
WrestleMania tickets officially on sale now, 25,000 each night. is the plan. Now, there was some talk that this 45,000 number that WWE put out initially, they were never going to put 45,000 people in there. Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer saying that this was merely a number to entice an audience. And then by lowering it to 25,000, it suddenly makes them must-have tickets. Chances are they will all go in the pre-sale as well. If you are buying a ticket to WrestleMania, WWE have a liability waiver and a release that you will need to sign, which basically says that you voluntarily assume all the risks related to the exposure of COVID. Now, they have COVID procedures in place. There'll be social, there'll be spatial, social distancing as the one. There'll be bubbles in which you and your party will be in to prevent mingling with other people. There'll be contactless at bars and vending areas. There'll be masks given to you complimentary as you walk into Raymond James. So they are taking every precaution, but you still have to sign a waiver to say, look, I know you're taking these precautions, but I'm very aware that I'm kind of risking COVID to be here. They're putting that out there in black and white, I think, for people to see. Heading into WrestleMania, we have two nights of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. And we had some concerns whether or not that card was going to go as planned because there was a COVID outbreak at NXT last week. This led to a couple of matches from this past week's show being taken off. Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer updates us on that when discussing those who have been affected. So, we were meant to see on NXT last night, or Wednesday night, Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa facing Imperium, and we were meant to see Leon Ruff versus Swerve Scott. However, we just had Thatcher, and Thatcher wasn't present, so we had Ciampa on his own facing Marcel Barthel, and the Ruff Swerve match just wasn't mentioned. Dave said this about those affected, saying, in theory, they'll all be cleared in 10 to 14 days, unless somebody has a really bad case and gets sick. I don't think TakeOver is affected at all. They started testing guys on Friday and Saturday. That means there's a good chance they'd be cleared to come back for next Wednesday's show. So in theory, the people should be back by Wednesday. So it was just the 1 week. And following the news of his induction into the WWE Hall of Fame, Eric Bischoff has been talking about who he would like to induct him into the Hall of Fame. He said, quote, I don't know that there's an obvious answer to me. Clearly, Hulk Hogan is one of my best friends, and the history we have together in this industry and the friendship we've maintained, if I had to sit down and think about it, that's Hulk Hogan, and that's probably where I'm going to go to first. He also mentions his wife or his wife and kids. And he also mentions Bill Shaw, who he says, quote, gave me the real opportunity that I had in WCW, would be someone I'd love to think about. There's a lot of people that come to mind that make sense. But Hulk Hogan was the first one that sprung to mind, and Hulk Hogan's going to be there anyway. So maybe it makes sense to have Hogan get inducted and induct someone as well. Just saves on bodies, doesn't it?
Doug Williams has done a heck of a job of raising the prestige of that new belt. He won it July 17th at Reborn Completion. He then defended it on consecutive nights against Alex Shelley and Austin Aries on Death Before Dishonor weekend, and that's taking on the top competition right there. And then he went over to the United Kingdom and defended the belt over there, making it an international title, just like Samoa Joe did with the ROH title when Samoa Joe made it into the ROH World title. Doug Williams, a great job making the Pure Title prestigious belt. The newest belt, in fact, in the wrestling industry right now.
Over to Cultaholic.com's Aidan Gibbons now, who is caught up with a man who this week announced he was stepping out of retirement. Former Ring of Honor Pure Champion, former TNA X Division Champion, champion all across Europe, and British wrestling legend, Doug Williams.
So Doug, of course, what we're here to talk about today is your announcement on Monday that you were basically returning to the ring because of events over the past year.
Primarily because of the pandemic, essentially. You know, had a lot of time to sit at home doing nothing, thinking about your life and the things that ultimately you enjoyed and you know, things that you might maybe have taken for granted for a while, and now you realise that they were a fundamental part of your life and something that you really enjoyed and actually, you know, made your life what it was. And I think wrestling was definitely one of those things, you know. So that kind of gave me the itch to get in there and start performing again. Whilst I'm still able to, I don't think I'm totally over the hill yet. I don't think I've totally written off.
So have you started training already to get back in the ring, or?
Only insofar as I do like the normal kind of lockdown exercises, which is walking outside and body weight exercises on the room of, you know, in my living room. But I haven't done any, I mean, can't do any wrestling training really, can you, unless I was going to wrestle myself on my bed or something. That's going to start happening in earnest on April 12th, isn't it? When those sort of facilities are open again. Got time to get rid of that ring rust, you know.
And to the return to the ring, had it been something that you'd thought about for a while, or was it like a recent decision?
It was something I kind of considered since the new year started. That ultimate decision was made just last week, really, where I thought, no, yeah, I could probably, you know, I can do this. Now the end's in sight. Now we're getting to some dates that are, you know, that are more or less definitive. Now the vaccine's, you know, in full effect, and you know, the chances of us going back into some sort of lockdown and life returning to normal is you know, 75-80% there. I thought this was the right time to make that decision.
Yeah. I know it's a bit early doors, but have you had anybody reach out to you about potentially wrestling yet?
I've got nearly 20 bookings already for the latter half of the year from various UK promoters. One Danish promoter, weirdly enough, that was random. But yeah, the diary's filling up, definitely, and I've had a couple of other promoters contact me, and I just need to secure some dates and talk some deals with them.
Are you primarily focusing like on the British and European scene?
Yeah, in the first instance, it's going to be, because obviously that's where I am. You know, that's where I'm most familiar. So it's just, getting out there again, getting around the UK, getting back in front of the fans. And then, yeah, I'll work it out from there international-wise. I am contracted to Ring of Honor anyway. As of last, the deal I signed with them last year actually spans until the end of this year. So whenever the USA opens up, I'm sure they'll have some things for me to do. Probably, you know, they'll probably reschedule that past versus present show. Hopefully I'll have some pure title matches as well. We'll see. Obviously, that's all depending on when the USA opens, of course.
Doug Williams has done a heck of a job of raising the prestige of that new belt. He won it July 17th. At Reborn Completion. He then defended it on consecutive nights against Alex Shelley and Austin Aries on Death Before Dishonor weekend, and that's taking on the top competition right there. And then he went over to the United Kingdom and defended the belt over there, making it an international title, just like Samoa Joe did with the ROH title when Samoa Joe made it into the ROH World title. Doug Williams, a great job making the Pure Title prestigious belt. The newest belt, in fact, in the wrestling industry right now.
Anyone in Ring of Honor particularly looking forward to facing once you're able to go over there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Jonathan Gresham, who I was scheduled to face, I look forward to facing him again. I'd love to, you know, obviously always enjoy wrestling Jay Lethal. I must have wrestled him 100 times in my life, so... You know, it's such a pleasure working against him. I mean, you asked me to name names. I could, off the top of my head, I can't really think. But, I mean, I do know they have a wealth of talent. They got some great Mexican guys as well. And it's always fun for me to try and get in there with someone of a little bit different style, see if I can work something out. So that might be fun too. Who knows?
More from Doug Williams, including further plans for his unretirement tour, and find out how he broke his nose during a match in Denmark. It's a pretty grim tale that he shares with Aidan Gibbons. You can catch it at cultaholic.com and on the Cultaholic podcast feed over the weekend.
Did you miss me?
From Cultaholic.com, nestled in the gorgeous Czech countryside, it is Friday, which means it's time to check in with our very own Lewis House. How are you, Lewis?
I'm good, Tom, man. How are you doing?
I am doing smashing. It's always nice when we chat because it means that it's Friday.
That's correct, yeah. Although Friday is the same as any other day during these times for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're back as well. I usually give you the old Simon Mayo weather update.
Yes,
on a Friday, and we're back to snow. So we had a week off, and the snow went away. And I woke up this morning and drew the curtains in.
Not even snowmen are interested now, are they?
No, and it's like the first day of spring coming up or something. And we're stuck with snow, but yeah, I guess enjoy it while it's here.
I always enjoy the Czech weather report. Let's take a look at some of the news that we may have missed this week from Cultaholic.com. Lewis, tell us about the prank that Brody Lee played on The Undertaker.
Yeah, so this was when Brody Lee was wrestling as Luke Harper in WWE, and he was in their developmental system. And Connor of The Ascension was a guest on a podcast this week, and he told a funny story about how him and Brody were both working as extras at WrestleMania 29, where The Undertaker wrestled CM Punk in New York. And they were two of the zombie figures that were there for The Undertaker's grand entrance, where it looks like they're all, you know, at the side of the stage, like reaching up to grab him. And Connor basically said that, you know, it was this awe-inspiring moment. They're developmental guys. They're on the big show. They're the Undertaker's entrance. It's WrestleMania. And Brody Lee was just like, hey, Connor, do you think I should try and trip him up? And he was like breaking the tension. Yeah, he was just, you know, this sort of threat and jest of like, wouldn't it be funny if we just tripped the Undertaker up? Or do you think I can grab his jacket? And they were like, you know, sort of a bit of levity in what was a pretty surreal moment for them.
I love some of the stories about Brody Lee.
Yeah.
And obviously we lost him in December as well, but I remember him coming in and it felt like a big thing for AEW, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And I mean, it has been a year and it's been a few months since he, you know, unfortunately passed on. But we keep getting these stories, you know, everyone has such fond memories of him. And not a week goes by that somebody, you know, doesn't come out who knew him or worked with him and gives one of these, you know, interesting and funny stories. So yeah, just a story there. There's a bit more detail and some quotes in the article. And just another example of what a fun-loving guy Brody Lee was.
Tyson Kidd has been taking a walk down memory lane this week as well, discussing his debut with WWE, hasn't he, Lewis?
He has, yeah. And it's not his 2009 debut when he debuted on the main roster as a member of ECW, if I'm remembering that correctly. And this was actually back in 1996 when Tyson Kidd would have been 16 years old. And it's, again, in the article, if you guys go and check it out, there's a lot more detail there, some meatier quotes from Tyson Kidd. But basically, a 16-year-old Tyson Kidd, Teddy Hart, Davey Boy Smith, and a family friend who I don't think has any connection to the wrestling business now, were having a tag team match on a show, on like a WWE event. And the story is long and convoluted, and there's a lot of funny tidbits in there. But basically, they had this tag team match in memory of Teddy Hart's brother, Matthew Annis, who had passed away rather suddenly. I think he was 60 maybe himself. And they had this match in tribute on a WWE show. And there's, yeah, it's a funny and interesting story, and clearly a different time in the business, you know, when 16 and 11-year-old kids were getting on shows. And there's some interesting notes about just, you know, how enthusiastic they all were because they were on the big show and this was kind of like the thing that had ever happened to them. So they planned out this 20-minute long match with all these high spots and dives and amazing moves. And then they got to the show and it turned out very differently than how they had planned it or imagined it.
How old were you when you made your wrestling debut, Lewis?
When I made my wrestling debut, yeah. So for those of the listeners who don't know, I was, I guess, a semi-pro wrestler in the northeast of England in the 2000s. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're around at the time, you couldn't escape it.
He was everywhere. Honestly, he was on every wrestling poster, was Lewis. Every wrestling poster.
Every chip shop in Newcastle had my face on it. But yeah, I started training when I was 14. So in the summer of 2005, I would have been 14 years old. And I had my first match when I was 14 on like a training show, which is kind of like for friends and family.
Amazing. So you predate Tyson Kidd.
I do, yeah. I've got one on Kidd there.
You've got that one on Kidd. All you need
my match was probably as terrible, if not worse.
I'd say it was the best. Finally, looking to the article for this week, what went on between John Cena and Mike Bennett in 2007?
Yeah, in 2007. So before Mike Bennett had made it to WWE and had his run as Mike Kanellis with Maria, 2007, Bennett was a, you know, he was in his early 20s. He was an indie guy, and he was his first time, I think it was in March of 2007, doing enhancement work. So he was one of the, you know, warm bodies who was brought in, and he was booked against Crime Time on Sunday Night Heat. And he told this story on a podcast this week, how in the match, you know, they came up with a spot where he would mimic a taunt that JDG did with his grill. He would kind of like point to the grill after a move. And so Bennett hit a move on him, and then he did this like mimicking thing. But when he gets backstage, evidently, the mimicking looked a bit too similar to Cena's "You Can't See Me" taunt.
Oh.
So word got back to Cena, and Bennett gets to the locker room. Cena's waiting for him and tells him in no uncertain terms to never, ever do that again. And apparently put it not so nicely. But Bennett said, you know, in the interview that, you know, Cena was within his rights because who's this young guy, doesn't even work yet. And he thought he was coming. And that's Cena's bread and butter, isn't it? You know, the "You Can't See Me."
Exactly,
That's kind of his shtick. So, you know, that whole respecting the business and the veterans and the top stars. And Bennett, you know, his first night in, he's trying to get a job. He's trying to impress people. And he ends up irritating the top star in the end.
He would end up getting back to WWE and consequently having one of the greatest theme songs in the history of WWE. Although the run wasn't as memorable as any of us would have hoped.
Cena won, Bennett won.
Yes, it's a draw. The news you may have missed is at cultaholic.com today. Loads more stories like that that slipped under the radar of our wrestling microscope this week. Lewis Hells, thanks for joining me this morning. Have a great weekend, mate.
Thanks, Tom. And yeah, check out the article, guys.
Twitch.tv/cultaholic from 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. It is Love You Bye Friday. It is you and I and live calls straight to the isolation station. Can't wait to catch up with you. It's been a while since we've had a Love You Bye Friday. Look forward to chatting to you later on. Also on Twitch today, Ross is back and he's playing a little bit of FIFA for you from 6 p.m. this evening. I'm enjoying watching Ross get passionate about football on the PlayStation. Twitch.tv/cultaholic. On the podcast feed over the weekend, as we mentioned earlier, an exclusive interview with British wrestling legend Doug Williams, all about his plans to step out of retirement, and a brand new episode of the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review is on the podcast feed tomorrow as well. This weekend on the Cultaholic podcast feed, it's all about WWE Fastlane. We have predictions, we have reactions, we have what happened at, we have graded, and we have your WTF moments on the final stop on the road to WrestleMania. I will speak to you on Monday. Don't forget to join us. Love you, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.